The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is speaking to Gentile converts, Christians if you will, but the message is for anyone in any age and should be taken seriously. Paul isn't trying to convince us that the law no longer exists or that you aren't required to obey God, His word or His law, or that grace does away with the need to obey God's law. Neither is he telling us that all we have to do is to believe. Of course, he is telling us that we have to believe, but he also is telling us that we can't continue in sin, that we can't make that way a lifestyle just because we are under grace. The Greek word charis, translated grace, means free, undeserved pardon or free, undeserved favor. The word charis occurs 156 times rendered grace. It occurs 130 times rendered favor. It occurs 110 times in Paul's writings. And it never means the law is no longer in effect. It means you aren't under the death penalty of the law if you are under grace, if you have been pardoned for breaking God's law, which is sin. Going on here in verse 17 of Romans 6, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, now notice this, my friends, I want you to notice this, says you were slaves of sin. Everybody is a slave of sin until he comes under the grace of Christ, until they have accepted the sacrifice, the blood, the death of Jesus Christ, have repented for their sins, and have come under the grace of Christ. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now we need to remember what sin is, and sin is the breaking of God's law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. As I said, you're set free from sin through and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you have been granted undeserved pardon. You have been forgiven, forgiven of sin, and sin is the breaking of God's law. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Did you catch that, my friend? Paul said, for just as you presented your members, that is, your actions, your ways, your thoughts, your attitude, as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Paul is telling us that lawlessness, or sin, leads to more sin and it leads to more lawlessness. For instance, if you tell a lie, you may have to tell 10 or 15 or 20 to back up that first lie. Perhaps you've had experience in doing that. But that's just an example of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. What happened at the time of the flood? Well, their lawless deeds led to so many lawless deeds that God had to destroy mankind for their wickedness because the world had become so corrupt. Now, which course do you think we're on today? Do you think we're on a righteous course, or do you think that we're on a lawless course leading to more lawlessness? And we're fast approaching the time that mankind would annihilate himself from this earth because of his lawless deeds. Going on here in verse 19, he says, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Yes, righteousness leads to holiness. And what is righteousness? Psalms 119, verse 172, says, all your commandments are righteous. So Paul is saying now that you've turned around and you have begun to live by the righteous commandments of God, says they will lead you to holiness. They are an aid in leading you in that path. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Christ said in John 8 that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So God is very plain and very clear about the fact that if you live that kind of a life of lawlessness, that you are a slave to sin. You're making that way of life your God. You're putting that way of life before your God. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Yes, the end result of sin is death. That's eternal death. That's the death in the lake of fire from which there will never be a resurrection. And you need to think about that, my friend, because that isn't going to be a pleasant death. Not at all. Verse 22, But now, having been set free from sin, yes, through and by the blood, the sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ, and having become slaves of God, yes, turned around, began to obey God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now, isn't that what you want? Don't you want everlasting life? And don't you want a good life in this physical life now? Well, begin to obey God, and you will have both. Verse 22, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but God says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the only way that you can have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking to people that have been washed, that had been cleansed from their sins by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They repented. They had been baptized. They had received God's Holy Spirit. They began to walk in newness of life in obedience to God. They were keeping His commandments. And Paul was encouraging them to continue to grow in the new freedom of righteousness. Because Paul said they had obeyed the form of doctrine that he preached to them, and Paul himself kept God's law, the Sabbath, the last day of the week. That is very evident in Acts 17 and throughout the epistle to Paul. They understood that grace didn't give them license to disobey God's law, the Ten Commandments. They knew and understood the breaking of God's law is sin, and they knew they had just been cleansed from sin, which is the breaking of God's law. Notice what Peter had to say along this line in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13. That's 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a grace that continues throughout your life, but repentance does as well. But if you care less about obeying God, His laws, then you won't be repenting, and therefore, grace could no longer be applied, for you would have fallen from grace. Repentance and grace are ongoing. Conversion is ongoing. Righteousness that leads to holiness is ongoing. That is, if you want to be and remain a Christian, and you want favor and pardon by the grace of God to the end. Notice in verse 14 here, Peter goes on, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Verse 14 tells us that we must obey. But what are we to obey? Well, as Christ said in Matthew 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Peter says, obey every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that includes the Ten Commandments, and that includes the fourth one, the Sabbath, the last day of the week. That is very important, my friends, to understand. If you want eternal life, you must obey God. And that is what Christ said in Matthew 4:4 is a direct quote from the Old Testament. You find that in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. And there's some out there saying that the Old Testament has been done away with. Well, many places in the New Testament are direct quotes from the Old Testament. Peter said, as obedient children, he was speaking to Christians at that time. Yes, Christians that were under grace. He didn't tell them they didn't have to obey God's word, God's law. Now notice that, my friends. He did not tell them that they did not have to obey God's word, God's law, because they were under grace. Neither is he telling you and me that. Peter, just as Paul, James, John, and the other apostles taught, you must obey. So did Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ said, I have kept my Father's commandments, setting us an example that we should do the same, that we should follow in his footsteps. Now let me ask you, was Christ under grace? Were the apostles under grace? That's easy to answer. But they all obeyed the word of God, his laws, including the fourth one, the Sabbath. Now we know Christ didn't have to be pardoned of sin, as you and I have to, because Christ never sinned, but he found favor in the sight of God the Father, and that is a form of grace. Notice in Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8, what God had to say here. That Genesis 6, verse 7, verse 8. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. Notice that, my friends, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, because Noah obeyed God. So he found grace or favor with God. Now, that ought to tell us something if we have ears to hear. And that is that grace, pardon of sin, and favor with God in Christ go hand in hand with obedience. As Paul said, what then? Shall we sin or continue to sin? That is to continue to break God's law, and that's what sin is. Keep that on your mind, that grace may abound. In other words, so you can have more grace, he said, God forbid. God forbid that once you are enlightened, once you have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, once you have become a Christian, that is Christ-like, and you're living His way of life, he says, God forbid that you go back to sin, that you go back to breaking God's law where you came from to begin with. You know, Peter said that you would be as a dog that returned to his vomit and the sow that returned to her wallowing in the mire if you do that. Yes, the wages of sin is death, as we quoted earlier in this program from Romans 6, verse 23. And that means the second death, from which there will be no resurrection. That second death is the death in the lake of fire. And that will not be a pleasant death, my friend. And you need to think about that. You need to think about changing your way of life. Now, that fire may not seem so hot right now to you, but if you see that lake of fire that you're going to be thrown in, and it's going to be much hotter than burning a brush pile or something like that, it will not be a pleasant sight for you to see and to know that you're going to be in that lake of fire and burned to death. The wages of sin is death. It's not eternal life in the lake of fire burning forever and ever. Well, I see my time is just about up here, but we'll pick this up in our next program, so keep listening. And in the meantime, if you'd like more understanding of this topic and of God's way of life, we invite you to call us toll-free. Because, my friends, I want you to know and understand that we are all confused today about right and wrong, truth and error. We are living in a Babylonish world, a world of confusion. But if you want more understanding of God's way of life, request our free articles, Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the article, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing? And all you need to do to receive those articles is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675. Or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. That's thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Or call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, and request the articles that we're offering today on this program, Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the article, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing? This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, daily or weekly, depending which station you hear the Way It Ought to Be program, and continue to request our free tapes and our free literature and our free CDs. And we'll see you on our next program. Have a good day, my friend, and may God help you to understand.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.